is the XR Motion Podcast with your host, Michael Steinberg.
All right. Welcome to the XR Motion Podcast. Oh, my goodness. So today we have a great episode. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but first let me go ahead and introduce our amazing guest today. We met up at the last meetup and we talked for so long. It was such a good conversation. Had to have him on. Simple as that. Today we have on Hassani Jones. And this guy is just a fantastic 3D artist and 2D. When I was on your page, I saw a 2D profile. Excellent work. And the one thing I'm most excited to get into a little bit later in the episode is your VR work. Man, you've just been doing some crazy stuff, and I'm just really excited to dive deep into that. Hassani, man, how's it going?
It's going well, bro. It's going really well. Just trying to stay busy and stay creating, you know?
Oh, man, I feel that. I feel that. And you're in, I know you're not in Brooklyn. Where are you at again?
I'm in Queens right now.
Well, man, well, I just want to, like, I guess we can just kind of start off by saying, like, what would you say you do currently?
Okay. So I can give you the short version or the long version, but I'll just take it all the way back. I used to play baseball. I played all the way till college. And so my second year in college, I stopped playing and I didn't know what to do from there. So I just got into art. It was, for the most part, it was just fine arts, you know, so like ceramics, glass blowing, sculpture, photography, drawing, painting, all of that. So there wasn't really much digital work at all. But one day I saw a guy use Adobe Flash out of all things. I saw him use Adobe Flash and he made this really crappy cartoon. But it, like, from there, it like changed my mind, just opened up everything to me. And from that day, like, I realized that I had Adobe Flash and all these other Adobe software on my computer. And it just took off from there. I just started making a whole bunch of stuff, just exploring, expanding. So fast forward to like Atlanta. I grew up in Georgia. I grew up in Atlanta. Moved to North Carolina, after graduating college. I got a job at
what part?
Charlotte. Charlotte.
Okay.
So I've actually been to the stadium and everything. Yeah, man.
We were probably right near each other at one point. Didn't even know.
Yeah.
That is wild. Okay.
Yeah. So did some work for Fox Sports. Got to work on the Fox Sports robot.
Oh, yeah. That was huge. That was actually like one of the coolest things I think the NFL did with its branding was bring in that robot, you know, which is so random, but I totally love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a, you know, those guys on there, a lot of great designers. They showed me a lot of stuff. I wasn't even really into 3D at that time. Like I said, I was using Flash, so I was just making a bunch of cartoons. And then, you know, I ended up getting into motion graphics. And once I got into Fox Sports, those guys showed me what's up. And I, you know, just blossomed from there. So,
wow.
Now, I was in North Carolina for like 2.5 years. Moved to New York for working at their competition, CBS Sports. And, you know, so it's cool there too. But, you know, for the most part now, just keep creating on the side, just making my own stuff, you know. So,
well, that's awesome. That is awesome. So what was that transition like? I always love this part because some people are always scared. Some people are excited. Did you move up here because of the job, or did you move up here and then were kind of hunting for the job? What was that process like? Because I know it's just so funny because I literally was in Charlotte. For me, at least, I didn't have a job lined up. And it was the scariest thing in the world. And I just became like my full-time job was applying to jobs.
Yeah, so, yeah.
did you have anything lined up when you came in, or what was that like?
I had this job lined up.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so I did move up here for the job. But I will admit, moving to New York, although I was born in New York and I moved to Georgia like when I was like 2 or 3. So I had no clue like much of what New York was.
We have the same story.
That's crazy. You're like my long lost brother or something, bro. Yeah. So I moved to New York. I didn't really know too much about it. And but for the most part, it wasn't that bad of a transition, honestly. It wasn't that bad. You know, I got lost on the train a couple of times. Had to, you know, figure that out. But as far as like work, they kept me pretty busy. A lot of the work, a lot of stuff that I learned in Charlotte made me really comfortable here. So yeah, I was pretty good. It was pretty good. Not too bad.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I feel like having a job lined up beforehand is definitely the way to go. From what I've heard from most people, I mean, it sounds obvious, but it seems like a very smooth transition. So that's awesome. That's awesome. So you've been doing work, some 3D work. Now, I know you said you were kind of doing, you know, you went in, you were a cartoon doing kind of the Flash stuff. Then, you know, Fox really showed you the ropes. Then you moved here. Now with CBS, have you kind of dove into the 3D space a lot harder? Or have you do you do more motion graphics there?
I'm going to bring it back just a little bit. In Atlanta, I was using a lot of After Effects.
Okay.
So After Effects had a plugin called, it was one of, what's that guy's name?
Andrew Kramer.
Yeah. Andrew Kramer. I can't believe I forgot his name for a second. But he had like a 3D plugin for After Effects, and that's kind of how I started getting, that's how I started getting into 3D.
Wow.
So when I moved to Charlotte, you know, of course, they were like, we're going to use Cinema. So I feel like I did most of my heavy lifting in Cinema when I was in Charlotte. And then when I got here to New York, it's a lot of motion graphics and a lot of building templates. So like, you know, building it, whether it is with building templates in After Effects or building stuff to be moved from Cinema to After Effects. But I guess, what was the question again? Like, when did I start using like a lot of 3D or?
Yeah, I guess I didn't even really know what you were kind of doing in Atlanta, like what that progression was like. So I was just curious, like if when you moved to CBS, if you were doing more 3D than, you know, maybe prior to, because I feel like every, you know, I didn't even ask, maybe you did just start in 3D after Flash, but I feel like everybody does the jump from After Effects, you know, to Cinema 4D. So that's cool. So you, like at CBS, do you do like, is it kind of 50-50 work or when it comes to like After Effects and Cinema 4D, or what other programs are you using currently at the day-to-day?
For the most part, I couldn't even really tell you because it's whatever they give me. It could be anything. Some days, some weeks, I might have a lot of Cinema. Some weeks, it's like a lot of building in Photoshop and getting ready for After Effects or getting ready for, you know, making logos or, you know, just anything, honestly. Opening up Illustrator, Photoshop, After Effects, Cinema, whatever they throw at me. I'm still waiting for some Unreal Engine work, so.
Right. Well, that's cool. That's what's up. So that with the, what kind of projects would you say recently, or we'll just even say at CBS or Fox, what's been your favorite project that you've worked on?
I say I have a few of them. I have a few and they actually don't come from the places that I worked on, worked at. I feel like my favorite projects are usually the projects where I learn the most. And usually those projects are probably some big project I gave myself. Like when I started using Flash, I tried to make this cartoon and I tried to make like multiple episodes and I learned how to do lip syncing, recording my own voice, recording my friends' voices, making all these characters and stuff. And by the time I finished that, it probably was like a year or two that I've been working on just one project that I gave myself. And I feel like I learned way more than like what my other freelance gigs were giving me. I could say currently right now, like this game that we're probably going to talk about eventually later or whatever. But I've been working in Unreal and it's been like 8 months now that I've been working on it. And I feel like even if I've gotten some Unreal work from like another company, it probably wouldn't have been as in depth as what I've been giving myself.
Mm.
So, you know, I will say, Fox, they gave me a few projects that were like life changing. I guess some of the projects were just so tough. Like some of these cinema, there was like some of these 3D projects were so deep and like, I don't know, I've never seen anything like it at the time. And, you know, just learning how to like work through those and learning the, you know, like the workflow, just, I would say, I don't know, they had a, I don't know if I'm even allowed to like give this information, but it was like a baseball package that we were working on. It was a package that they gave that we were working on, and there was like a lot of versioning that you had to do, you know, changing a lot of logos. And you know, with 3D stuff, that stuff could really like take a long time to work on. But you know, I don't know, I love this shit. So, you know, just doing it over and over and over again, and then and just get faster, and before you know it, like I'm able to like replicate these projects in my own style, and you know, make it efficient, make it faster. And I don't know, I just love to learn. So any project that helps me learn the most.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it's definitely like learning in this field is such a crucial part of it. And yeah, there's nothing better than getting something that's exciting and new. You know, I'd almost rather work on a project that I don't know how to do versus one that, you know, I'm like people would say I'm good at, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, this is always one of my favorite questions I got to ask. Do you have any favorite plugins that you work on or that you use all the time? Any, you know, little secrets or anything like that?
You know, I don't have any favorite plugins. To be quite honest with you, it's probably going to sound crazy, but I try not to rely on plugins.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I you know, I do use them. I'm not going to say like I don't touch them at all. You know, anything that's, you know, useful that will just, you know, help the work go by. But like I try not to rely on plugins because you never know when you won't have it. You know, like you might end up working for another job and they don't have that one plugin that you were relying on. So it's just like I just go straight for it, baby. I just got to just, you know, I'll do it the hard way if I have to, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's not that bad, you know, because honestly, it was kind of tough for me. I just got a new job. I say new, but it was this last year. But it was so crazy. Super corporate. And they have not approved any plugins. Mm. And that process was really difficult for me to get adjusted to. Because I'm just was so reliant on so many, especially like, you know, animation composer, the Mr. Horse stuff, and using even just Andrew Kramer's console, you know, the control space bar, control C or something like that, the quick search, just like all these little, you know, plugins I had. It was, but yeah, going back to the basics, I'm sure for a lot of freelance people, that's, you know, you have to do it that way because you just don't know what you'll be able to use.
Yeah. I mean, let me see. I don't know. I've used so many plugins. If I had to say, like, what are some, you know, this might sound like super cliche and like not cool at all, but I mean, I don't know, optical flares or something. I don't know. I don't know, man. I know a lot of designers probably listen to this and like, this guy, he doesn't know anything, but I don't know, man. I don't really use or even know of like a lot of plugins that are like popular. Grayscale Gorilla, they have a lot of cool shit. You know, when you're working with lighting and stuff. So like I did use a lot of that, but even still, I try to like stay away because, you know, I don't know. I just like to light that shit myself sometimes. But
no, it's great. I'm trying to think. I think it was Wes Cox was saying that anytime he uses materials, he builds them himself. Like he just, I don't know. He's just like, it's the best way. You got to know what you're doing, you know, and if you really want to get a look and feel that's you and, you know, exactly for what you want to make, then you need to know how to make it and you should be able to make it. So, you know, cause yeah, relying on plugins is definitely a bit of a clutch. So cool. Well, let's actually, I mean, I'm excited to get into the future part. And I think you're probably like one of the more like people that are equipped and diverse enough to answer these questions and drop some knowledge bombs at the same time. So I'm excited. And I'll probably ask a few questions out of the norm, so which I'm also excited for. But let's, well, before we even get into those questions, let's just ask actually about your experience in Unreal. Because actually, you know what's funny is I save that, those questions for the future as if though like one day we'll be working in Unreal. But you actually are working in Unreal. So this is present. Tell me just what are some of your pros and cons to working in Unreal, and what got you into Unreal out of, you know, compared to using Cinema 4D?
Okay. So what got me into it? All right. So I had already started thinking that the industry is going that way. Mm. So like I was a little hesitant to start because I already know some guys who've been working in Unreal for a long time. But I think what really made me want to get into it is this, again, like AR and VR stuff. I fell in love with that stuff from the moment I put on my first headset, which was a PlayStation VR. I bought that the very first day it came out. And, you know, I've been playing it ever since. And eventually I got to the point where I'm like, I played all these games. I enjoy all these games. But like, dang, now I feel like I want to try and make something. You know, like I feel like I played so many games that they were all very interesting, but now I want to put my own spin on it. So the only way I can do that is by, you know, it's either Unity or it's going to be Unreal. And so it was like, okay, well, I'm probably going to end up having to learn Unreal for my job anyway. So let me just go ahead and try it. And, you know, the first couple of hours really fucking sucked. It sucked. I was like, what is this? This is nothing like anything I've ever done before.
Yeah.
But, you know, after maybe like a week or a week and a half, like I'm not going to say things started to click, but things started to become fun because I've never made anything functional. So I guess that will be the biggest pro is like once you learn to start making things that function, like, you know, like I could make some graphics and press play and whatever, you know. I can make some 3D stuff, you know, I could look at it for a couple of hours, but to actually be able to play something that you created, like you're playing your own imagination, that's when it starts to be like, holy shit, this is unlike anything. And like, I already have the tools to make the graphics. I already have the tools to make like 3D, like, you know, whether it's like any 3D asset, like, I don't know, trees, buildings, weapons, anything that I'm going to use, I know how to use. I already know how to use, you know, make that stuff. So it's just like, if you're a designer and you just want to make something functional, whether it's an app, whether it's a game, like, oh my God, it's just Unreal, bro. It's open it, bro. Just try it. It's great.
No, I'm loving it. And you know, it's funny because I have. The one thing I've used it for is actually not what I actually want to use it for. I use Unreal sometimes just for doing quick video renders, and because you get beautiful real-time results, and you know you can post that as a daily. But what I want to use it for is the VR stuff, and it's so cool that you're actually making kind of these games and these movements and stuff, and I'm definitely excited to try it out. But I've got to ask, so what, how is your game? Like, I want to know all about this game and project that you're working on. Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Okay. Yeah, sure. It's, right now it's a first person shooter. It is more arcade-ish or arcadey, if you will. There is no real story to it yet. But I can say I played quite a bit of first-person shooters in VR, and a lot of them have really great, like, have mechanics in some ways that I really like. And again, like I was saying, like, I just wanted to take some of these things, you know, like, I don't know, for anybody who's listening, like, if you played Population 1 or if you played, like, Contractors or Pavlov, like, all these games have different mechanics. So I just wanted to try and take what I liked from all these others and bring it into my own. I want it to be fast paced. You know, there's like some dashing, there's climbing, there's shooting, there's I don't know, like I don't even know how to explain it, man. It's I would love to just like, I don't know, post some videos or something for everybody to look at, like once you're finished watching this.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely tag it. And I know exactly what you mean. Like, it's sometimes so hard with VR because it's so immersive and it's so real that it's like, you know, to just say, like, I was standing in a room and it looked real. It's like, oh, it's like, no, but you don't get it. Like, it's hard to like really describe, all the cool things about being in VR. Well, so what else, like, so you're using Unreal. I mean, are you, man, like, shooter games are so fun in VR too. Like, have you had any problems? Like, what was kind of, gonna rewind for a second, but how is it getting into VR? So imagine, you know, we got people here listening and they're saying, man, I don't know. Like, I think VR is cool. I think Unreal is the right engine. What would be maybe like some of your suggestions or tips for those people that do want to get into Unreal Engine for VR?
I would say like although it is difficult, I don't even want to say it's difficult. I would just say like there is a learning curve. But what makes Unreal so cool is that you could use there's so many tutorials on YouTube. And like, you know, if you want to get on like Udemy or Skillshare, I feel like it's well worth the $15 for however, you know, or however much some of these tutorials are. It's well worth it if you really want to get into it. And a lot of these are not even VR tutorials. They're just tutorials on just how to build a game. And a lot of those, they all work. They all work for whatever it is that you're trying to build. You know, like if you're trying to build a not even a game, but like let's just say an app, like a music player. There are tutorials for that, and once you figure out how to add motion controllers and you know, bring it up in your headset, it's pretty much like the same. Like everything works the same, you know. So there, basically, there's no shortage of tutorials on how to get you started, and I can honestly say that's how I've been doing it. Like I watch tutorials almost every day to you know figure it out. But like now, after watching so many, it kind of all just started to click, and I don't really need to watch as many. Like before, it was just I was watching them all day, but now it's just like you know maybe one a day or maybe like two a week or something like that. But you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that you mentioned Udemy too. Like, I've honestly myself just got through my work a free, like, I can take like a free, like, three or four classes a year completely, or I think it's like a full subscription or something. I'm just really just working on two right now, but actually was blown away how much better that was for me at least than a just a YouTube series. It just seemed like way more curated onto like here's a first to finish like end course, and it's not just like a few, like it's not even just like 2 hours, like, you know, broken up into 18 videos. It's like, no, this is like a 12 to 13, 14 hour course, and we're going through everything, and you're gonna have a full working functional application, or, you know everything about the program. And yeah, I've been using it. Mine's been in Unity, but I'm also, after this Unity one, gonna be doing an Unreal one. So I'm amped about that. What was your experience? Have you tried making like a lot of 3D models in Cinema and then importing them into Unreal, or
Currently that's what I'm doing. Like I have at first I started just grabbing some assets from the Unreal Marketplace just as placeholders, but now I've gotten to the point where like a lot of the mechanics that I have for my game are, you know, nearing completion or they're, you know, they're pretty much fine-tuned. So it's like, okay, now I get to do the fun stuff, all the stuff that I actually know how to do. So I'm like, I don't use Blender, I use Cinema, and I'll build like my enemies or like my weapons. I'll do all those in Cinema and import them into Unreal, and that is also not difficult. It's like, I don't know, Unreal, like as difficult and as like intimidating as it might seem, it's actually not that, at least to me, it's not that hard. Like I feel like they did a really good job at making it really accessible.
So I'll even ask this. Now I know there's like my biggest fear was always coding. Have you came into like any situations where like do you need to learn coding to
Yo.
get into VR and Unreal? Or I know I've heard of blueprints or something. Like what's that kind of structure like? Or is it downloading plugins or like at like what's kind of the workflow with getting, like building a world, you bring it into Cinema 4D, and then kind of what do you do from there?
Okay. I'll say I'll start off by saying this, bro. I've never coded a day in my life. Prior to this, I've never coded anything. I always thought it was like gonna be this massive like class that I might need to take, like a college course or something. And man, Blueprints is genius, bro. Unreal, if you're li I mean Epic, if you're listening to me, y'all did a great job with Blueprints. Here's what I'll say. The first time you opened up After Effects, or let's say like the first time you open up, like, I don't know, Photoshop, whatever software that you use, and you don't know where what anything is, like you don't know what any of the effects are, you don't know what they do. But after you've watched a few tutorials and then you start doing your own thing, you start using those same effects over and over and over again. And then the more you do it, the more you expand, the more effects that you learn about, that and before you know it, you know exactly where to go and how to get the result that you're looking for. It's pretty much the exact same thing with Blueprints. There will be some effects in After Effects that I still don't know what they do, but it's like, okay, well, I need to get this kind of result. I'll look up how to do it, and I could get what I need. In Unreal, there are still a lot of nodes. There are so many nodes that I don't know what they do, but there are my core nodes that like will pretty much get me the result that I'm looking for. And a lot of it is really simple, like opening up doors or like moving one thing like in the world, like a component from one place to another place. It's all using pretty much the same node. There are many different ways to do it, but I like to use my nodes that I like to use. I like to use them in a certain way, and I get the results that I need. And as time goes on, I've just been learning more and more and more. And before I'm sure after like 2 or 3 years of doing this, I'm gonna know all these nodes, and it's just like I just remember the day when I didn't know shit. So, and so like as far as moving things from Cinema into Unreal, a lot of it is just drag and drop. But you kind of, I just feel like with any software, like moving assets around, like say you want to use something from Cinema to After Effects, it's best to have a plan on how you're going to do it. Like if I want to, let's say, have this big garage door open and, with multiple moving parts, then, I could go about it by just making a whole animation in Cinema and importing that animation into Unreal. Or I can split those pieces up in Cinema and then bring them into Unreal and then let the engine take care of all the movement. It kind of all depends on how you want to go about it. I like to plan things ahead, and I feel like again, there's just multiple ways of going about it, so
I love it. Now, what kind of VR headset do you use? I'm kind of curious as to what that workflow is like when it comes to testing out the VR application. So say, for instance, you did bring in a world, then maybe you had a player with the VR, like the hands and the head, you know, so you can just kind of press play. Is it kind of something where you're modeling with the headset on, or is it something where you press play and then you put the headset on? I don't know. I'm not even too sure, I guess, is what.
Well, I can, I'll say this. I have a Quest 2, and I have a Valve Index. But I only use the Quest 2 right now. My Valve Index is sitting in a box in my closet.
Anyone needs.
I just feel like I'm developing for the Quest. And if I want to develop for PC VR, then, you know, there's some, I guess, Unreal and Oculus, and I guess whoever else was involved, they kind of made it pretty easy. You know, like once you put in some settings and then you press, you know, like this one main button that's at the top, it's just like, okay, well, this is what it's going to look like on the Oculus. And then when you unpress that button, or if you press it again and it unhighlights or whatever, then that is what it's going to look like for PC VR. You get the best of both worlds with your Quest 2. So, you know, like, if I could get it to run on my Quest, then I know for a fact it's going to run, on my PC. So,
right.
So as far as like, well, how does it flow, or like, you know, how do you test it? I can, just press play. I can press play, and then, my Quest is still connected to my PC, and it will give me a pretty clear, like once I actually put it on my head and I start playing, it will give me a pretty clear indication of how it's actually going to look, how it's going to play. The frame rate will be, you know, immaculate because it's still connected to the PC. But like, once you build the game, like, you know, it's almost like exporting, like go to this button called build, and it'll take maybe like 3 minutes, and then it will be on my Quest, and then I can test it out, or I can share the file out to other people, and, you know, it's pretty quick.
Wow. Yeah, I'm excited to get more into it. I really am. There's even just 3D models I want to see in VR. I want to make, you know, experiences is what I'm excited for. It's just, you know, we actually have, I think it's in Williamsburg, but it's called like the Future Museum Experience or something. MOFI, Modern Future Exhibit is what it's called. But yeah, they've been messing around. They have like 12 headsets. You put it on and now like VR artists can make these like crazy, wild, kind of like trance/zen experiences where you're like floating through the woods and things are kind of like coming in and out with I don't know, it's like trippy. It's
sounds awesome, bro.
Yeah, it is. And it, again, like we were saying earlier, kind of hard to explain VR sometimes, you know, without getting too detailed, because it's just so immersive, you know. There's so much happening, it's wild.
I feel like some of those things, like, you know, you can make something that's like super realistic, or you can make something that's super abstract. And the abstract stuff, that stuff is really hard to describe to someone, like, you know, in VR, you know.
Yeah, like this one, it had this thing where it was like a heart, but then inside the heart was like a baby, but then you realize like you're kind of the baby. It's like an hour long experience. It's crazy, but yeah, it was so cool. It was so cool. I definitely am more like, I'm excited to kind of do these new experiments, because I don't know, that's one thing I feel like hasn't been done yet, is just like when my friends come over, I feel like a lot of times they sometimes don't even want to like learn how to play a game. They just want to see some cool, you know, stuff in VR. And I'm like, I don't really know how to like, just like make you walk around like they just want to walk around a forest, you know what I mean? And they're just like, oh, can I touch this? Can I touch? They don't care what it is. They just want to enjoy being in VR, you know? They're not trying to scream really. So I would kind of want to do that as an angle. I think it would be really fun to make some fun little simplistic stuff. So we're definitely going to have to I'm sure you're going to be getting messages in a month or two when I start diving in. You're going to be getting 800 messages from me.
Bring it on, bro. Bring it on.
I will. And so I want to kind of get into this future part here. Just some of these questions. Where do you see the future of VR going? Because right now I feel like we're in an interesting spot where lots of promotion on the metaverse. You couldn't go on TikTok or Instagram or anything without seeing it and people talking about it. So now it's kind of like the hype kind of faded a bit. Where do you see the industry going in the next year to maybe 3 years?
The next year to 3 years? I would say probably the next year, you'll start seeing a little bit more maybe AR type stuff. I already know in the sports industry, they're really trying to push some of that stuff. As far as VR goes, I don't think there's going to be a super explosion of just a bunch of VR content. I think it's going to be pretty gradual. I think it's still going to take a while for people to catch on. I think it's going to be probably a lot bigger with the younger crowd. And it'll be more normalized in their lives than it will be in, where we're at. We will be making shit for them.
Yeah,
I feel like VR gaming will possibly be alongside, right now it's still pretty niche, but I feel like it will be alongside flat screen gaming. I would like to see VR and flat screen games be played together. That would be awesome, so just how you can play on a PS5 and then you can still play with your friend on an Xbox. It's just okay, well, I want to play in VR and they still want to play, on flat screen, and we can still play together. That would be awesome. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, that would be.
I feel like AR will have a lot more, just normal use cases, AR glasses, I feel like, or anything in that realm will, might replace your phone. So, or it might be, coexist with your phone. So, you can open up Spotify instead of having to look down at your phone. I want to see what the next Spotify is going to look like just with AR, and so I think it will be, in those ways. I think, maybe in the next 10 years, it will be really, really take over. We might have far less screens than we have now. As far as the next 1 to 3 years, I would love to see it take off. I would love to see it really explode, but I think I live in a bubble. So, it's got to be realistic.
No, I agree. Well, let's even talk about 10 years. I normally say 10 years because everything's so hypothetical with other people, but I love the honesty for the 1 to 3 years. But what kind of... even in 10 years, I mean, this is so hypothetical. There's no wrong answers, right?
Okay.
But what would you like to see maybe in the VR, AR space?
Man, I feel like, it would, as much as I would hate for it to replace physical social interaction, there's just some ways that I just, can't see some of my friends or my family. And if that became AR technology became normalized, and you can just toss those on and just like how we have FaceTime today, and I can just see a hologram of family members, that would be so dope. I would love that.
Yeah.
Or I think it would be super cool, you go to the Panther Stadium, and there will be a freaking panther running around on the field, or a giant panther just comes out of nowhere.
Right.
That would be, for everybody to see, I feel like that would be amazing.
Man. Oh, yeah. Especially after a touchdown, AR effects that are synced to events, that would be sick. Like, you know, even like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are like pirates, right? Like when a cannon goes off, you would maybe actually see like a cannon go off or something.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
You know, maybe another the other team's flag comes up and you see it rip through their flag.
That'd be amazing.
That would be so sick. That would be so fun. Right?
I'm thinking like even concerts. Like I've seen it on I've seen a video on YouTube. I don't remember the name of the band or whatever, but I think it was somewhere in Korea or I know it was in an Asian country. I don't know which one it was. But I think it was like a League of Legends concert or something like that. And they had AR backup dancers. But, you know, of course, you can't really see it with your own eyes. You can only see it through the camera. But I thought that shit was amazing. And I'm like, imagine, you know, everybody, you know, just everybody in the crowd, like if it's normalized and everybody in the crowd has, or maybe even the stadium passes out really cheap glasses for everyone to just experience like a halftime show or something like that. So you get the full effect. That would be crazy. Oh, yeah. There's so many implications for it.
That is going to be when it happens. I bet you the Super Bowl halftime show will have something, will try and be one of those things that like is maybe the first time everybody could try AR at the same time or something. Like a real, I think they call geolocation three, like AR thing where you can walk anywhere around the stadium and like get different viewpoints of what was happening. That would be sick. That, I can't stop. Yeah. And it's funny too with, I think with AR and being able to see your friends and family and stuff like that, like I agree with what you're saying. I think, yeah, it could totally like why almost interact or you don't like in person when you can just be drinking a beer and three of your friends are in the same room, you know, like, I'm not coming over. Like, you know, just be one of those things like, nah, I'd rather not. I got my beers here. You have your beers there. Oh, we're good. We can drink. It's pretty much identical, you know? So that's funny. Yeah. Well, so, let me see here. Where do you think, do we go into this? Let's go into this a little bit and maybe we can come back. But what is your thoughts, if you have any, this is a little different, but on NFTs, do you have, have you sold any? Have you made any? Do you hate it? Do you like it? Do you think it's going to be in the metaverse and in, you know, in your games? Where's your head at when it comes to
I'm
that?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around what exactly it is. But I think I kind of got the concept. But can you break it down for me just a little bit of what it is? If you do have like a, and then I could possibly give you a better answer. Yeah. You know, okay answer.
I mean, right. I mean, I guess like NFTs are real for essentially, obviously, non-fungible token. It's a receipt with art. Now, I guess this will bring us back, but a lot of people are saying that, oh, you know, say you buy this ring in real life and you put it on your finger, it's cool. Well, now that ring, you'll also, once you buy the physical copy, or you could buy just the digital copy, is you get a code and any kind of like universe that accepts that NFT, you can bring that into that world. But so that's kind of the thing. And then some people, you know, with the art scene, there's been like, a lot of just people being like, oh, I bought this dude's art. So now when I open up my, you know, my metaverse home or my, you know, Oculus home, not Oculus, Meta home, I don't even know what they're calling it now. But yeah, like I could upload my NFT in there and then people would see it, you know. And
it sounds cool. It sounds cool. You know, like I create artwork. I was actually just about to say, like right before we got into this, I was going to say, it would be cool to just have like, you know, 3D art that people can see, like, I don't know, with some AR glasses, but it's like, instead of it being graffiti on a wall, it's like digital graffiti out in space. And I just feel like, okay, like, I guess somebody could buy and sell that. And I guess if it lands in, I don't know. I think it's just, it becomes really confusing when you're trying to, like, I want to put it in this digital world. Well, does this code match with the code for this other world that you want to bring it in? That's when it starts to get, like, really confusing to me.
Right. And polygons. Like, what if, like, you have, like, a photorealistic ring, and then, you know, you're in a world that's not photorealistic, you know, or it's, like, super shell-shaded. Right, you know, it's...
It sounds something, yeah, you know, like, I think that maybe our technology or just my mindset, I don't know, maybe that's just, like, too far out for me to really wrap my head around, you know, like, some people with AR, it might be, like, what I'm talking about might be, like, too far out for them to wrap their head around. So I think NFTs, that's probably too far out for me. So I don't know.
That's understandable. I feel like I need to get an NFT artist on now that it's kind of not as much of a craze as it was before, and just see where artist heads are at when it comes to that. Because, like, I went to it was literally a VR meeting in New York, and the whole thing just turned into an NFT meeting about how our NFT is going to be in VR. And I was just like, it's so hypothetical. Why can't we talk about more, like, the realistic expectations of what we can do now, you know? Mark Zuckerberg giving open source, just hoping all companies use their, you know, kind of platform, I think it is, or, like, their controllers and physics engines and everything like that, so everything's universal. But I just don't see it happening. I mean, freaking look at Epic Games and Apple, you know? It's just... Well, man, Asani, well, anything else you want to share? Maybe, like, you know, look out for me on any social platform. I know you're pretty quiet on the social media platforms, but any websites or anything like that you'd like to share where people can maybe find you, or if you do release a game where they could maybe download that?
Yeah, okay. I do have some closing words or some things I could say.
Yeah.
If you you can be anything you want to be. All it takes is effort. The early bird does, well, how does it go again? The early bird
early bird takes the worm.
Yeah. 100%.
I think something like that.
100%. you know, if you want to be great, you got to work harder than the next man. So, you know, work hard. My website is HassaniJones.com. And I can't tell you when, but I eventually want to get my game on SideQuest. And there will be some social media coming soon. I just don't have it right now. But if you want to check out my work, definitely HassaniJones.com. And you can see what I got there.
Yo, thanks so much, man. I love the advice. That is the best. And I'm excited, man. Post anything you can in the Discord too, because I, you know, your updates that you posted on there.